is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is the Gospel of Christ. An understanding of the Bible's teaching of the resurrection of the dead reveals the true love of God for all men. Ed, what can a man believe? Just what really is the gospel of Christ as it is presented in the Word of God? But first may I announce these programs are brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with local Bible study groups, and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. If you would like to know whether or not there is one of these Bible study groups near you, write to the Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. And now again, the question, what is the gospel of Christ?
Well, thank you, Russell. Judging from my contacts with people in various parts of the country, I am sure the question is one of general interest. And almost everyone knows that basically the word gospel means good news or glad tidings.
I agree that probably nearly everyone does know that. But does the general understanding of the gospel harmonize with these basic facts that it does mean good news or glad tidings?
Well, you remember that when the angel announced the birth of Jesus, the good news or glad tidings of the gospel would be unto all people. And that text introduces still another aspect of the gospel, for it informs us the nature of the glad tidings. It is the fact that a Savior was born, that is, one who would save the people from their sins. The Scriptures inform us that this promised salvation is made available by Jesus' death through His shed blood.
But, Ed, all we have said thus far is merely in the nature of generalities. The gospel is good news. Yes, we agree. Everyone knows that. The gospel is good news of salvation through Christ. And with that, all Christians agree. But just what does the Bible mean by salvation? And how is salvation brought to the people through Christ? In other words, just what is the gospel of Christ?
Well, in the first and second verses of first chapter of Romans, in which Paul says he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he refers to the same gospel as the gospel of God. Then he explains that God has foretold this gospel by his holy prophets, by the prophets of the Old Testament.
I presume that should help us in our investigation, but does it really? There are many prophecies in the Old Testament, and the prophets wrote a lot of things.
Indeed they did, and wonderful things too. They wrote that death would be swallowed up in victory, that blind eyes would be opened, and deaf ears unstopped, that people would build houses and inhabit them, and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof, that the time would come when every man would dwell under his vine and fig tree, and that none would molest or make afraid.
Yes, but what is implied by building houses and inhabiting them, and planting vineyards and eating the fruit thereof? What are we to understand from the promise that every man shall dwell under his vine and fig tree? Those in heaven won't be building houses, planting vineyards, and growing fig trees, will they?
Russell, when we find out just what the gospel of Christ really is, we will discover that none of the Old Testament promises we have quoted will be fulfilled in heaven.
Do you mean that no heavenly hopes are held out to us in the gospel of Christ?
No, I didn't say that at all. But before we get back to that point, I would like you to read a New Testament reference to the gospel where the Apostle Paul gives us a fairly comprehensive idea of what really constitutes the gospel of Christ. Now, Russell, the reference is Galatians chapter 3, verse 8.
I have it, and the text reads, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Why, Ed, this text seems to inform us that the gospel was preached to Abraham thousands of years before Jesus was born.
Now, that's right. But even more important than that, Paul tells us what constituted the essence of that gospel which was preached to Abraham. It was the fact that through his seed, all the families of the earth were to be blessed.
Well, that certainly harmonizes with what we learned earlier, that the gospel is glad tidings to all people. If all the families of the earth are to be blessed, that is good news, I'll agree. But Frank, who is the seed of Abraham through which this promised blessing was designed to come?
The Apostle Paul answers that question in the same third chapter of Galatians, verse 16. I see you still have your Bible open to that chapter. Suppose you read verse 16.
Verse 16 reads, "To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ." Well, I get the thought from this that it would be through Christ that all the families of the earth are to be blessed.
That's right, and that's why when Jesus was born, the angel announced his birth as being glad tidings of great joy, which eventually would be unto all people.
Well, there is one thing sure, Ed, which is that the gospel of Christ is not a narrow, restricted gospel, for it promises blessing for all the families of the earth. And in that, I think the gospel is wonderful.
And that's very true, and it is wonderful, Russell.
And for that, we can certainly be thankful. But, Ed, we do have to be realistic in this matter. Is it not a fact that hundreds of millions of the human race have died without knowing anything at all about this gospel? That was true of all who died before Jesus was born, certainly. Even today, nearly 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus, the vast majority of mankind do not believe in him. Can we still believe that the divinely stated purpose to bless all the families of the earth is yet to be fulfilled and realized?
Well, that question will best be answered by reading the 27th and 29th verses of that same third chapter of Galatians. And they read, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise."
Does this mean that the true followers of Christ are a part of the promised seed of Abraham?
That's exactly what it means. Together with Christ, they will be the channel through which God's promised blessings will flow to all the families of the earth.
The picture is beginning to take shape in my mind. I can see at least that the work of God thus far since Christ came has been to complete the seed class. Naturally, the promised blessing could not reach the people until after this work is finished. I see that. At the same time, though, this leaves an important question unanswered. Throughout all the long centuries since God made that promise to Abraham, people have continued to die.
The Bible answers that question for us in many of its wonderful promises. One of the promises is that there will be a resurrection of the dead.
And your thought is that all the families of the earth who have gone down into death are to be awakened from the sleep of death and given an opportunity to receive God's promised blessings of life through the seed of Abraham.
That's exactly right, Russell. Those who will live and reign with Jesus as the seed of Abraham will receive spiritual or heavenly life, while the families of the earth to be blessed through them will be restored to perfect human life, to live forever on the earth. This whole wonderful story of the gospel is clearly set forth in the little book, What Can a Man Believe? Russell, will you tell our listeners about it?
I now have a better idea than ever of what Paul meant when he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And thank you, Ed. And surely nothing can hinder divine power from extending salvation even to those who have died. And this, friends, is one of the reassuring facts set forth in the little book, What Can a Man Believe? Is there reason to believe that the time is near when the blessings promised in the gospel will actually reach the people, that is, all the people? And when that occurs, will it mean to you and to your friends and to mine and to my relatives the blessing of a happy kingdom of God? These are a few of the points of interest you will find in What Can a Man Believe? So send now for your copy. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. That is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for the Belief Book. It will be sent to you free and postpaid.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.